Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Ryan Dunn.
And I'm Steve Marks.
You might have noticed this gentleman here on my right, Steve's right, your left. This is David Robinson. He is a PM on the SQL Azure team. Now, we're going to get to David in a while, but he's come here to tell us all about SQL Azure, about the wonders and magic of relational databases in the cloud.
Relational databases, they rock. They really do.
In the cloud, no.
I've heard of those.
Yes, indeed. It's better than Excel in a lot of ways.
It's much better.
Now, before we get to that, as I said, we're going to cover the news as always. And with that, let's kick it off, Steve.
All right. So first up on the news, we have a blog post that's on the Windows Azure team blog. And it's about improvements we're making to DNS in Windows Azure. So specifically, we're going to make it faster. So you type in something.cloudapp.net, or you type in your custom domain, which is mapped to something.cloudapp.net, and it's going to resolve faster all around the globe because it's a more distributed system. It's more reliable. Runs faster. This is all happening October 5th at midnight. I don't actually know if that means October 4th.
And there's no outage for this, though.
October 5th or whatever. No, there's no... You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. The one gotcha that's in this post, if you look at it, is that because this new system is really distributed and whatever, it actually takes a little bit of time for the domain names to propagate.
Right.
And if you try to resolve the name before it's been created...
Oh, it'll cache it.
You will then cache... Yeah, you'll fail to get the domain, and that's just for a minute or so while it propagates. But your machine may cache that for like 15 minutes.
What if you did ipconfig/flushdns?
That would probably fix it, but I have no idea.
Or try rebooting your machine.
But you probably won't notice this because most of the time you'll be deploying some new application, and that's when the domain name is getting registered. And the amount of time it takes to spin up the app is probably longer than the couple minutes it takes for the DNS to propagate. So most of the time you won't see this. Where you might see this is if you deployed a staging first and there's nothing in production yet. You've never deployed to production. That means DNS entry isn't there yet. So if you swap from staging, well, if you promote from staging to production, when there wasn't anything there before, and then you immediately just click and try to resolve that thing, that might not work.
At midnight. Only at midnight, though.
After October 5th.
No, any time after October 5th, there's going to be this propagation problem. Right. So any new DNS thing you create after October 5th, you'll see this propagation.
But really, the value here is for folks in the Far East and other countries, other than the U.S., so our DNS is now distributed, so those lookups will happen a lot quicker.
Yep. So overall, this is really goodness, but there's that one, if you just all of a sudden notice, hey, it's weird, I could try to go to the thing and I get this DNS problem. It's probably because there's this delay that's getting introduced with this.
So don't try to redeploy. That's the
Don't try to redeploy. Actually, the real thing is, after you do this swap or something in a production, just wait a couple minutes. Because the problem is really, if you click it too soon, then you cache this bad result.
Yeah.
So if you wait a minute or so, you'll be fine. Anyway, most people, the normal flow, I think, of the way people deploy, most people will never even notice this delay. What they will notice is that everything resolves faster. So, better performance for all.
That's great. All right. This is from Rob.
I feel like now Rob has us...
He has a guest spot on the show.
Like, he can just... If he just published a new part every week, we're not going to stop. I mean, if he gets to part 35, we're still going to every week cover the new part.
Well, we're pretty sure there's 11 parts.
One click higher than 10. Did I have a bet about this already?
One click higher than 10. I already talked to Rob. I said, you got to do 11.
Yeah, all right, fine. So
so this is more about throughput in Windows Azure storage.
What's in this one? More pretty graphs, right?
Graphs.
That's all I want.
Basically, there's graphs.
This one's like kind of 3D.
Yeah.
The other ones were flatter.
If you there's even better. There's not even all bar charts. There's some other ones as well.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
There we go.
Histogram?
Histograms. Anything that has a histogram, you can trust. I've learned that. What's my favorite color? Histogram.
Yeah.
So with this, in deep knowledge of our transfer rates within Windows Azure, and he actually does mention you in here. He says something about your pseudo code.
Oh, look at this.
For releasing the hounds.
Steve Marks' pseudo code. Wade's words, not mine. This is because I gave Wade a hard time, because he called it pseudocode, but his actual working code. So, like, I left a comment, and I was just like, Wade,
what are you talking about?
What don't you like about my code? So that's what I think this little pseudocode in quotes is sort of an acknowledgement of that.
Yeah. So Wade the Claw Wagner had a release the hounds approach, which used the service bus, and you had a blob storage.
Yep.
File approach. But anyhow, read this post. There's tons of detail in here, and we're looking forward to the next 8 parts.
Yes. Yes, we are. I sure hope there aren't 8 more parts. I mean, I like it a lot, but 11 seems excessive.
No,
I think you should stop at 10 so I win the bet. Okay. What is next? I like this post because I like this post because of the nice pictures.
I like the
post. This grabbing the cloud. I know why you like the post, Ryan. You like it because it starts and says, this blog post is the first in a series of 11.
11.
Yeah. It doesn't actually say 11, but it's implied.
Yeah. We're going to have to contact Daniel, make sure he goes at least to 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, EPI server CMS. People ask all the time, can you get CMS to run in the cloud?
What CMS works? What should I use? Yep. Well, here is one of the options.
Now, he does caveat this saying it's not production, yada, 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 but he's just playing, it's experimental.
That said, let's rock and roll.
Yeah. Once he starts rocking and rolling here in this post, though, it gets pretty hardcore. There's part two already. This is part one.
Yeah. This is already the links to the series.
Yep.
So there are only going to be four. Look, it's already planned out. Aren't going to be 11.
Well, you never know.
If part four is final thoughts about it, and then what's part 5 through 11 going to be?
It's a recap of the first four parts again.
Yeah, sure. right, parts 1 through 4 revisited a couple times.
Did you guys notice the database?
I noticed the
database.
Right
there, look. What is that?
Access.
SQL Azure. What is that? That's not a real thing, is it? I don't know. We'll find out later.
I can leave.
We got one more piece of news, then we're going to ask David if SQL Azure actually exists.
Yes.
that's why we have him here.
So over in the UK, there's a guy named Don. I'm going to go Syme. It could be Syme,
sure.
Depending on what...
Syme?
Syme?
Don Syme? I'm going to go Don Syme.
Syme.
Okay. Well, he is an F-sharp guy who I believe was actually the architect for the language. He's like the Anders of F-sharp. Anders being the person who actually invented
C-sharp.
J-sharp.
J-sharp?
No,
wow.
Just kidding.
Wow.
So anyhow, now, I'm kidding, come on.
You made a powerful enemy.
So now, there's a video out here from David Gristwood, who is one of the evangelists out in the UK, and he was out of the Reading office. What they have here is a presentation series. Now, there's four of them, not 11.
I'm a little disappointed.
We could chop them up.
And I noticed that here we've brought up number 3 of 4.
Well, that's because...
Is there any reason for that?
Yeah, because the other ones are intros to F-sharp, which are interesting, but the third one is specifically about F-sharp on Windows Azure.
Great.
Yeah. So... Watch the video, kind of neat. Lots of people doing some cool stuff.
Cool. All right, so that brings us to our special guest, Jim Nagashima. I mean, David Robinson.
Yep.
Who's here to... I just think all of our guests are Jim Nagashima. Yeah. That's what I like
Jim's
to think.
Jim's awesome.
And David is here because he is an expert on whether or not SQL Azure is a real thing.
Yes.
And we just saw someone reference it in this blog post. But you can't believe everything you read on the internet.
Yeti?
You know, we should talk about it. People don't necessarily know who David is.
Yeah, let's introduce
him. And so
him.
we did some research before the show to see what we could find about David on the internet.
And naturally, we Binged it.
We Googled it on Bing, and we found what you're supposed to remember what this is.
LMO, is that capital it? I, pound full. There it is.
That's it. So we found a picture
of David.
David Robinson. Yep. And we loaded it up using Zoomit, which is hosted on Windows Azure, so that we could have a deep Zoom version of it.
Yep.
This is David Robinson.
Yes.
It's a super high res photo, so you can just get right in there and get to know David Robinson.
Yes. If you've ever wondered what David Robinson looks like up close,
that's what he looks like up close.
Yeah. Don't be fooled by what you see on this video.
Yeah.
That's him.
That's what he actually
looks
like.
You're staring into the eyes of death.
High resolution.
So is that what I'm going to look like, 50 years from now?
No, that's what you actually look like.
This was your post makeup.
Are you telling
right now?
Me I have not? I've never seen myself in front of a mirror.
Right, you've just never noticed.
Wow,
but this is how you actually look.
Yes.
So who was this really? This is
David Robinson.
Yeah, Professor David Robinson.
Yeah, he's
from
MSU,
Michigan State.
It's something to do with a study on something.
I don't know. Basically, we put David Robinson into a search engine.
That's
and
what we found.
There could only
was
be
that
one
the first
person.
No, it was.
Yeah,
there was no
not the first.
Like NBA references.
But it was by far the funniest.
Or anything.
And the fact that they had a photo of this man in like.
In
32
super high resolution. I just don't understand. It was like a little, it was like that little thumbnail in some article. And then it was click here for high res version. And it's like 84 megabytes or something.
I think I need to make that my picture on in the gal.
You should.
I think
you
so. Know? So that is Dan Robinson.
For anyone who doesn't know, we will post a link to this. You can find out what the inside of David's nostrils look like.
Okay.
I've never been allowed outside of the house.
Let's just leave that there and see if we can keep doing the show with it staring at us. It's kind of hard. Let's get rid of the eyes so it's not there. Okay, I feel more comfortable now. Okay, so for
the people watching at home, you have no idea what this experience is like. Showing up here, the banter before the cameras go on. This is the most out of control thing I've ever experienced.
I can't disagree with any of that.
This is out of control.
One of these days we'll probably have a uncensored version of the show.
Yeah.
Well, you did say I could curse if I wanted to.
No, we would never say that.
No,
come on. This is a family friendly show.
We wouldn't have said anything like that.
Absolutely not.
It's never. It's clean. Okay, so the real David Robinson. Yes.
Please.
tell us, does first of all, is Sequel Ash, stop doing that. It's freaking me out. Fortunately, I think for the wide camera shot, I'm sort of blocking the viewers from at home from having it. But if I just sort of, there he is. Okay.
He's just staring at your back.
That's so creepy. David, there is such a thing as SQL Azure.
Of course
there is.
Is
that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
SQL Azure, it's like a database.
It's like a database in the cloud. It's a SQL Server in the cloud. Now, what episode is this of Cloud Cover?
I think 48 or something.
76?
It's in the 70s, right?
Yeah, somewhere.
You guys haven't talked about SQL Azure before?
We have,
but you know what? We've never had an expert on SQL Azure here to actually tell us some of the cool stuff about it or some stuff that isn't out.
And you expect me to be able to tell you all the cool stuff in 15, 20 minutes.
It's impossible. You've got 30 seconds.
No, it's impossible.
Go.
I need a whole series. That's a whole series.
It's possible.
Right here, David Robinson is announcing part here
one,
on Cloud Cover.
Part one of 11.
Of 11. Of 11.
I thought he was announcing a new show. I just thought we were going to have SQL Azure cover.
Oh, yeah.
No, we'd have
cover doesn't really work if you don't say cloud. Okay, but
data in the cloud.
If everybody likes what they see in the show, we will be happy to have David Robinson on again and again and again.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And again, how many is 11? Again, 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 and again.
Which one? The real or the real?
The real, real.
The real one.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
You have a demo for us, I know that.
I do.
I feel like we're not moving forward in the show at all.
I'm noticing some ear hair, too, you know?
Yeah, look, all right, that's it. There's no more David Robinson.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Distractions are now
gone. No more distractions. What would you like to show us about SQL Azure?
So, yes, it's real. There's lots of stuff I could show you. One of the things we get a lot of times is, you know, people, Microsoft Access, right? What do you think about Microsoft Access?
I love it. I use it for everything that I do.
It's a great tool, right?
Yeah.
And we find lots of companies today, they have tons and tons and tons of Access databases. And they say, you know what? I have this resource sitting on somebody's desktop. I want to go ahead and be able to share it across my enterprise.
They run the entire companies on Access.
No, there's a lot of companies that do this.
Yeah.
So one of the tools I'm going to show you is the ability to take a Microsoft Access database and kind of cloudify it. Okay. And take that, convert it, move all the data, the schema, up to the SQL Azure, and actually modify the actual Access database running on the client so that it can actually access the data up in the cloud.
So I'll be running Access here. Mm-hmm. All my data will be off in the cloud.
Exactly.
Which means the guy next door in the other office may also be using that.
It also means it's highly available, unlike your desktop.
Exactly.
Although I can't use it without my desktop.
You could get a laptop, though.
That's true.
Yeah, as long as your data's safe, really. Data is 90%.
The important thing is, right, is I'm not going to lose the data because my laptop drive failed or something like that, which is...
And you could have actually a pretty hefty Access database, right? At this point, SQL Azure supports up to 50 gigabytes.
It does.
Yeah. Now, are there any plans to go higher than 50 gigabytes?
There are. We've talked about it publicly that there will be larger databases. We've talked about some of the sharding support we're looking to build into the system.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at some of the PDC talks we gave last year, we detailed some of the thinking around that. So definitely, you know, there's much more to come as far as database size is concerned.
Okay.
But you got to also keep in mind that the model of the cloud is not really scale up; it's more scale out.
Right.
So it's more, you know, think about sharding, partitioning your workloads.
And we don't have, like, you know, 128 CPU or 32-way servers up there serving SQL Azure.
No, they're commodity servers.
Purposely with commodity hardware to keep our price point low.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. This is great. In the demo, let's just
so take a look. Before we go to the demo, because I know
I actually think you can do it.
Hold on. Before the demo, I know you're really excited. You know, you told me how much you love Access before I got here.
Uh-huh.
Just want to call a couple other things out first. So if you go out to windowsazure.com/SQL Azure, we've rebranded and reworked some of the marketing pages, because we got a lot of feedback from people saying, hey, you know what? I can't find content. Mm-hmm. I can't find the stuff I need to go ahead and onboard. You know, so we went ahead. We modified this, and now we, you know, it's much more approachable for people. So we have, you know, some product information, some videos, white papers, and if you look at the upper right hand corner of the screen, you can actually get a free trial now of SQL Azure. So you can just walk up and get, you know, get right on the platform, start playing with it. You know, really, really great stuff.
Yeah. I like that there's so much fine print on that little free trial. Base amount with no commitment, usage and excess charge. Yeah, I guess that's the fine print, right? Which is that if you sign up for this free trial and then use more than the amount that you're sort of allotted in that free trial, you'll pay for the extra sort of stuff.
What if you go to SQLAzure.com? Does it resolve to this?
Does it work? Do we have SQLAzure?
Surely we have SQLAzure.com.
I'm afraid to type it in. Let's not do it.
Yeah, what if someone else owns it?
Yeah, what if it goes somewhere else? Somewhere bad.
Sure we have to have that. Let's do it.
Okay,
live on the
fine.
Edge.
Uh-oh. This is just needless. There's no benefit at all to this. We're just doing it just to see. Just because Brian likes to live on the edge.
Just got to go back to
SQLAzure.com. Is it done? No, it's loading. Look at that. No.
Oh, you binged it. I don't know why.
I binged it, which, of course, the first hit
is SQLAzure.
Is the right thing.
Were you looking for SQL.Azure.com?
Which is that's the portal, right? That's right. So it's actually that's kind of nice. That is quite likely
SQL.
What I meant.
SQL.Azure.com.
Yeah.
Cool.
But anyway, so we got this right, and the free trial sounds awesome.
So something for people to definitely check out.
And is that what this is?
That's the page
on the free trial?
Exactly.
Stuff. Right. Cool. And what do you get in there? You get a 1 gig.
You get a 1 gig. You
know, for Web Edition, right?
For no charge.
So what is the difference between a Web Edition and a Business Edition?
So today, the only differences are, you know, purely size.
Uh-huh.
The Web Edition database, you can have either 1 or 5. And then the Business Edition, either 10, 20, 30, 40, up to 50.
Right.
So that's the only differentiator today. In the future, as you think about other, you know, SQL Server platform products coming up to the being moved to the cloud,
mm-hmm.
Further differentiating depending on what SKU, you know,
right.
where those products will.
And I can move between one. So I can start today in the Web Edition. Mm-hmm. I can move to the Business Edition.
Exactly. Just do an alter database.
Alter database.
Yep.
I seem to remember on this show we showed a blog post that
blog post.
We didn't actually do it. Yeah. That's right. We didn't do
it. So we don't know if it's real.
I mean, but you just paste that SQL and it works.
We tried that once before.
And it didn't work.
I seem to recollect that.
That was a different thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is true.
I think David Akin was responsible for that when he worked on something for 30 minutes for 2 months.
I'm gonna go ahead and blame David Akin. Cool.
So let's go back
to... So you can use it for free, which means I could take my Access database of 1 gigabyte or smaller.
Yes.
Which is really
and
big.
For free for the next month, just run it in the cloud.
You can, but if you think about it, you know, when people are going to go ahead and just try it out, prototype, do things like that,
yep.
you know, they'll fit in that 1 gig.
Yeah, a gig is actually a pretty big
database.
Databases vary greatly in size mm-hmm. from things that are really small. The things are really freaking huge.
Yeah.
But 1 gigabyte is actually a lot of data. So
especially if you're not putting binary in it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have like serialize
all my data to XML.
What confuses people though, I think, is they look at their databases today and they're like, "Oh yeah, I have a terabyte database," and you're like, "Okay, but how much of it is like pictures and videos that you file stream on?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, like 200K.
Yeah.
Right. Like, well, maybe you're going to be fine with SQL Azure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you have to keep that in mind. You know, look at the mix of the content that you're actually going to store. And the other is, remember that sometimes when people move their applications in the cloud, it's not you just don't forklift the entire thing necessarily. Sometimes people say, look, I'm going to move a portion of this app for a period
of time.
Like,
these are the tables that I need.
Yeah,
for
these
my
are the
web,
tables
whatever.
I need. And it turns out we have this fantastic service, DataSync.
I've heard of that too.
Yeah, DataSync can move on premises to the cloud, or will be shortly.
Well, DataSync is not really designed to do just one-time movements. It's more for the synchronization.
Yeah, yeah, they're right. That's
So we've got to make sure we draw that line. You know, for what tool you use when.
You could use BCP.
SSIS.
SSIS. Which other
FRGL?
FFmpeg.
Everybody was saying letters. I just felt left out.
Okay. Now we've cut into David's time, demo time, so much. Let's let him actually demo to us.
Please, yes. Because I still don't believe that you can do it.
You have to beg. You know, you made me wait.
No, I'm not going to beg. I flat out don't believe it's possible.
Fine.
And so why would I beg you to do it? You're just going to be embarrassed when you can't actually get it done.
All right. So to show the folks at home.
Yep.
Here we have a database, right? It's actually a baseball stats database for
cool.
Little League.
This is real data, too.
This is actual real data.
I know whose kids these are.
Really?
Or whose data this was based on.
Okay.
So Ryan, I know you have a little girl. Do you have any other children?
I have two little girls.
Two little girls, no boys?
Nope.
I have four little girls, no boys. What about children?
I've got no girls, no boys.
No girls, no boys?
Yep.
I have
lots
of pets. One other.
He actually has 32 pets.
Yeah.
Cats.
Well,
and
no
they
children.
Have no gender.
Well, no children that you know about.
No children that I am aware of.
Yes. Yeah. You know, they're probably out there.
If you
around.
Are watching the show and you know that I have some children somewhere, please contact us on Twitter at
CloudCoach.
Yeah,
make sure it's public, too.
Yeah, a public at reply is the right way to let me know.
Steve, you're
so
my daddy.
I actually had a question about that before we go ahead to this demo.
Yeah. No, wait. What?
No, before the demo.
Okay,
just a question for you. Isn't Twitter like a more like a real-time type...
It's a conversation.
Yes.
Right? These shows are recorded.
Yeah.
So how do you have a real-time conversation on a recorded show?
No,
we don't
for the
have
next
a
week.
Yeah, I mean,
oh,
we just look at them.
Week.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
It's not like right now. I'm not like checking Twitter now to see.
I actually am.
How awesome would that be?
Did anyone that reply? We haven't. The show's going to go live in 4 days.
That would be hot. If you could pull that off.
Yeah. We do.
We're pushing the bounds of technology right now.
Yep.
I mean, we have a laptop on the show.
Right. We're actually asking Twitter if we can get access to the future stream.
Yeah.
So if we can actually get the tweets before they're tweeted, then we could do it.
Yep.
Work on that.
Okay.
So here in Here's the demo, I have a baseball stats database, and notice that I'm using all local tables here.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and close this.
That's a pretty database. Who
it really
that?
Does look
like,
nice.
That's ridiculously
not me,
pretty.
Not me. It's the Access guys did this.
Wow.
So they're much
it's
prettier.
Beautiful.
Than, they're much prettier than we are, you know. So if I go ahead and close this.
Well, we saw the picture of David Robinson.
It's
pretty.
Listen, you keep on interrupting.
No,
do
we're
the
not
demo
going,
or not.
I still don't believe you can do it.
All right, so here we go. So we have something called the SQL Server Migration, you know, assistant.
Yes.
And they come in multiple flavors. And if the readers, if the audience wants me to come back,
yep.
I can actually show you another demo. Not today, because I'm not prepared. But I could show you another demo where we can actually start migrating databases from other cloud providers
mm-hmm.
up to Azure. Mm-hmm.
Is this a migration assistant something that's free or does it?
It is free.
Is
you download it. You know,
okay.
I'm sure the guys in the editing could put up a nice link somewhere to you know where to.
No,
go
I'll put it. I'll put
or
it.
You put
for
it up
sure
yeah, we'll put
on
it in the notes.
Show.
Yeah,
because
yeah. so
I'd like to know where to get this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But there's multiple flavors of this for depending on what you want to migrate from and to.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I like Rocky Road.
You do.
That's a good flavor.
I don't like stuff in my ice cream. I just like plain ice cream. Just, you know, multiple different flavors, but
all right.
No chunks. But
fair enough.
So if we go into the tool, and notice the first thing we get presented with is a nice, pretty wizard. And it has a multiple steps for us to go ahead and actually do this migration.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go ahead and click Next, the first thing it's going to ask me to do is, you know, what are you migrating to? And so there's a couple options here. A couple meaning two, SQL Server and SQL Azure. You know, today we're going to talk about SQL Azure, obviously, because we're trying to prove that it's a real thing. I'm going to go ahead and click that. I'm going to go ahead and click Next. And then the next thing it's going to ask me to do is add the Access database I want to go ahead and convert.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty simple stuff. Click Add Database, choose the baseball stats database I had a second ago. I'm going to go ahead and click Next. It's going to go ahead and analyze that database, and if I wanted to, I can actually go ahead and migrate only certain objects over at this point.
Does it do, like, stored procedures or anything like that? I forget. Does Access do that? They don't have that. They don't have stored procedures.
Access
right?
doesn't, I believe.
No.
Right.
So it's not an
issue.
But it does queries.
It does queries.
Saved queries. Does it
yep.
migrate those?
It does.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to interrupt.
This is
thrilling.
This is not about just about the people watching at home, but it's about you too.
Oh,
I want to help
thanks.
You.
I don't even think it's about the people who are watching at home.
It's just about you.
This is just about us. Yeah, we like to learn things. We have special guests on the show.
So the thing is, like, there's stored procedures in the database world, and then there's Access kind of stored procedures, which I don't even remember anymore. I used to.
But all that stuff still runs client side.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't migrate those.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't change them into stored procedures that run up on the cloud.
No.
Okay,
not that I'm aware of. I could be completely wrong.
That would be awesome if it
but
did.
Not that I'm aware of.
You know, that would be really cool. If just the form state and the little queries that you save that are kind of like stored procedures?
We're like converted to stored procedures.
Yeah, converted to stored procedures. That would be so cool.
That would be.
All right. So sorry to interrupt you there, David. But now, in the future, I know we you said we had SQL Server and SQL Azure. Are you going to have other providers, like, say, MySQL, or is it MySQL?
MySQL, MySQL. Yeah, so there's actually a migration system to migrate from MySQL over to the SQL Server.
But not to Access.
But not to Access.
Okay, that's good. Because that would not
There's
make
no
sense.
Just all pairs, any
combination. Yeah. I'd like to migrate from MySQL to Access to SQL Azure.
That would be really hard.
Yeah.
Can I go?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know,
sorry.
I still have to prove him wrong that SQL
No, Azure, I don't believe it.
Exists.
It's not going to work.
Okay, so if I go ahead and click Next,
yes.
Now I'm going to have the opportunity to actually connect up to SQL Azure. So I'm going to type in my password.
What is your password? Did everybody catch that?
Yeah, make sure we bleep out the what he just said. Because that was not a password.
When he said his password,
that was dirty.
Increase the volume on his microphones.
He said it again.
Can't believe it.
So it's going to go ahead and connect up to SQL Azure. I'm going to say yes. And then I want to create a new database. Right, so I already have an existing database out there called pubs. I'm going to create a new database for this.
So you could choose an existing one, and what would happen?
It won't overwrite. It'll throw errors if the objects already exist.
Okay.
Or it would, if they didn't exist, obviously, it would just move them
just
in there.
Just merge them.
Right.
So I'm going to type in...
So you have an Access Northwind AdventureWorks database.
Yep.
So all those tables are fine.
Access NorthWorks.
Yep. NorthWorks. Contoso NorthWorks.
Yeah.
So I'm going to name my database Baseball. I can have the opportunity here to choose what size database.
Yep.
It's a baseball database, baseball stats, Little 50 League.
50 gig.
It shouldn't really need
just to be
a 50
safe.
Gig. No, you know
we
what?
We should actually shard it by player and put 150 gig database for each player.
You could.
I think.
You have maximum, you know, scalability at that point. Yeah, what do you think?
I think we need that.
I'm going to go ahead and click Create. Database created successfully. Thank you.
I don't believe it.
Now, it's set it up.
That's just a little message that pops up, no matter what happens.
So just to prove you wrong, let me actually go ahead and...
Don't prove me wrong.
Go ahead and say refresh.
It's okay if you suggest that I might be wrong.
You might be wrong, because look,
prove it.
Did you see before before the refresh, there was a pubs database. After the refresh, there was a...
Baseball database.
Baseball database.
Yeah.
It's real.
It just tells me that he did it in advance.
It's
and he hadn't hit
real.
Refresh yet.
It's real.
We don't know that the right. wizard actually caused that to happen.
So I'm going to go ahead and click Next now.
There's no proof.
So what I have the opportunity now to do is click on Link Table. So what that's going to actually go ahead and do is not only is it going to migrate the database and all the objects inside the Access database, but it's going to modify the Access application. And all the stuff it's moved, it's going to add it as linked tables.
Ah, right.
So that way the Access database continues to, the Access application continues to function, but it now be pointed up to SQL Azure.
Does it link up the forms to the linked tables for you automatically?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I finally caught you, though, because this thing says SQL Server everywhere, not SQL Azure.
So
I'm just going to go ahead and say, proven right. You can't actually do this. This is fake. There's just SQL Server.
For complete fairness, this is the SQL Server.
Dave's never going to want to come on this show
assistant.
Again.
Yeah,
we may invite him back, but he's not coming.
But the thing is that it's a SQL Server migration
assistant,
okay? Keep in mind that SQL Azure is SQL Server in the cloud.
I think that's important for people to know.
It's actually, right, the fact that I shouldn't actually care at this point of what it's doing with the Access database and whatever. It actually makes no difference that it's SQL Azure versus SQL Server.
It's
presumably
SQL.
That's just a connection string
it's SQL.
Somewhere. Right?
That's it.
And so it should really say like SQL Star.
Yeah.
We should just start saying
SQL Star. SQL Star.
Server.
SQL
Azure,
did you just create a new
thing.
Brand?
Yep.
SQL Star.
SQL Star.
SQL Star.
Yeah.
SQL
Someone
Masters.
Go register SQLStar.com.
So I'm gonna go ahead and click next. And what it's doing now, it's going to go through all the different database objects. It's going to convert them over. It's going to migrate the objects, migrate the data, update the Access database. And in a moment, once it finishes, now what it's going to go ahead and actually do is it'll go ahead and synchronize all the data. So I'm going to go ahead and click OK. And then in a moment, it's going to pop up and ask me if I want to go ahead and persist my my database password inside the Access application.
Okay.
Because it's got to save it in clear text. You know, depending on what ID I'm using to do the migration, I might want to have a user with read-only access, you know, being persisted. You know, it might be a security concern for me persisting the password. You know, so it's something to keep in mind.
I don't see an issue with saving your password in plain text.
You don't?
Sounds good.
Seems like a reasonable
thing. I don't see what the problem is.
So here we go.
I don't believe in SSL either. I think that's a myth. If I look at it on my browser, it doesn't look scrambled. Right,
shut up. I'm typing my password in wrong here.
Oh, it's what it, pass at word one, I think.
Yeah.
Just to help you out there.
I think it was SQL Azure Rocks.
But that's my other password. That's my bank account password. So now it's asked, say, right. You're going to persist.
This
you want to do it.
Right. This is the confirmation.
I want to go ahead and do it. Yes. I go next. It's going ahead and doing all the updates to the Access database. Mm-hmm. It's just about done. You are about to be proven wrong, sir.
No, I'm still skeptical.
Listen.
I want to see the converted database.
Yeah, I want to see Access
look,
open and working.
Now
that's
we're
what
done.
I
now
see.
We're done, right? So I'm going to go ahead and click close. I'm going to close out of this thing. I've run this demo probably, you know, 3 dozen times. I don't need to save it, so I'm going to save
it. Look, 11. It was an 11-part. He did it 11 times. Just for you, Ryan.
I'm going to click no. 11 parts. I just got that. I'm a little slow on the uptake, but I just got that.
That's all right. We'll edit it so it looks like you got it right away. Oh. It was actually, for the folks at home, it was 3 minutes between when the joke was made and when he said
it
I just got that.
It was actually more. It was actually like 15.
But we're just going to cut that stuff out.
So now, watch what happens when I load that up.
Now, this is the same access. You double-click the exact same thing because it's actually been modified, right?
Exactly.
It's not that
so
it created some new thing.
It's been modified. So if you look now, all the tables I had are now, they've now created link tables. So I'm now actually working on this Access database, and the data is stored up in the cloud.
Right.
So I can now take this Access, it's still a database, but this Access application, I can give you a copy, and we can all manage our baseball Little League stats together. How awesome is that?
You know? Okay, there you have it, folks. If you want to use SQL Azure to manage your Little League teams, David Robinson has the app.
This is really cool. It is. And I admit I was wrong. It is apparently possible to do this. I think it's pretty cool. I'm amazed at how automated the process was.
It actually is pretty easy.
I wonder if it's, is the process worse when you're doing something like MySQL, the SQL Azure? Where
it's the same exact
there's
process.
There aren't features
well, what about
that
the features
are in one
of the database,
aren't.
Yeah. Are there any features in Access? Like, well, I'm sure the SQL Server probably supports all the features
that's,
of Access.
See, that's what I'm thinking is that SQL Azure and SQL Server are sort of a superset of what Access can do. Well, module the client stuff, but that's remaining here, right?
Right.
Well, I feel like MySQL and SQL Azure, I don't know if there are things that don't match
if
up.
If there
quite
are
right,
things,
or,
you know, during the wizard, it'll actually warn you for those incompatibilities and say whether or not
you're. So there are a couple of things where you can decide, like, okay, fine, I don't want that index, I guess.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Yeah. I don't want that row that has.
Yeah, I didn't need that row. Right, that row has a weird letter in it. We just don't like it, so
Drop the tall table.
Let's just kick this guy out of the Little League because we can't fit his name in that table.
So that's it for today's demo.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think anybody who has an Access database and has a hankering to make it a little more collaborative, put it under control.
It's not
of
only
the
that.
IT.
Now that data is up in the cloud, you can go do a Python thing or whatever you do on the other cloud
the
shows.
Kids do these days.
You know, you can actually access that data now. It's up in the cloud. It doesn't matter.
Right. In fact, we've gotten it out of Access to some extent because now you can go use all sorts of other tools against it and
you can report against it.
I go build an ASP.NET app, put it up in Windows Azure that.
I could use Link to
I
SQL.
Could
I could use the Entity Framework on this.
You could.
Model First Development.
EF.
Yeah.
Great. That's cool. So I think that brings us to our favorite time in every episode, which is the tip of the week, which means, of course, Bob is going to have to put something together as an introduction to the tip of the week.
There's no catchy jingle like tip of the week? Nothing?
I think that's part of it.
Do that louder.
No.
Darn it.
It wasn't good enough. So let's take that intro, that jingle. I think we should take a picture of David Robinson
and
work
other
that
David
in there
Robinson.
Somewhere.
Nose hair David Robinson.
Put in the best David Robinson picture you can think of, Bob. And let's have that as sort of our intro to the tip of the week. So with that, here is our tip of the week.
Tip of the week. Tip of the week. Tip of the week.
That was lovely.
All right.
Music to my ears.
Yeah, loved it.
I enjoyed it. What is our tip of the week this week, Ryan?
Well, it's really about getting better performance from your SQL Azure database, or at least maximizing the chance to have better performance from your SQL Azure database. And it has to do with co-locating your data.
Yep.
Now, there's a couple reasons you want to do this. Always, whenever you put your data closer to your compute, latencies go down, and you get better performance. You get less chance of timeouts, things like that, which would cause a connection to break and you have to retry. But also there's another reason, and it has to do with the scratch.
It's money.
Money, that's right. If you decide to put SQL Azure in one data center and your compute in another, which might seem like a good idea at first, you're actually going to pay for the bandwidth in between data centers. And that's something you need to keep an eye on. A lot of people, what they don't realize when they go to deploy is that I think the names are fixed now, but at one point in time, the names on the SQL Azure deployment where you choose your logical server to locate it was slightly different text, I think, than when Windows Azure deployments.
Yeah.
So there was actually, I think we said Southwest, and they said like South Central or something like that. Yeah. Forget exactly how that worked, but I think we fixed them up.
I think
up
it's
at this
all
point.
Mapped now, right?
I think we're pretty good.
It needs to pick the exact same.
Yeah, so if you're using an affinity group, like my awesome affinity group, know where that's actually located, because if that affinity group in Windows Azure is in the South region or North region or one of the European or Asian locations, you want to go and choose a corresponding location for SQL Azure. And today, SQL Azure is in all the same data centers.
Yep.
So you have the ability to co-locate your SQL Azure databases with your compute.
And one thing to be careful of is don't choose like US anywhere.
Yes.
When you go deploy your Windows Azure thing, if you're then going to do SQL Azure, because then Windows Azure is just going to choose a place for you. It's going to put all the same, you know, your affinity group is all going to be together, but your SQL Azure database doesn't belong to that affinity group in the same way. SQL Azure, you're going to have to choose specifically where do you want it to run. So make sure you're choosing a very specific location, not a US anywhere or Europe anywhere or Asia anywhere.
Exactly.
So stay away from those ones and then just choose the exact same place in both of those. Then they'll be together. They'll be happy. They'll have low latency. You won't be charged for that bandwidth. Unlike this baseball thing that we did where we're running Access here and SQL Azure in the cloud, which means you will have latency between those.
But
you'll
have
bandwidth through that.
There, you know, some applications with that latency, they run great. Just like the
Access app. I assume our baseball statistics are still.
Do you know how you can actually test the latency? You can actually see.
How can I do that?
Trace route.
Next time. I can actually show you. Next time, I could show you how you can actually do like a SQL ping.
He's buying a ticket on the show.
He's messing with us now.
I know.
See that?
Wow.
But it's actually a really good technique because we find, you know,
first of his 11 appearances.
You know, we find a lot of people outside the country, you know, in Europe and Asia Pacific and whatnot, they have a hard time picking the data center to go to because they think, oh, it may be geographically close to me, but there might be a fiber cable that runs, you know, up the, you know, up the ocean. So this is, you know, gives people
a way. But my computer actually has a direct fiber line over to North America.
You're in North America.
No. This was the hypothetical guy who's in this other location.
What location would he be in?
I don't know. Whatever you said. What did you say?
Asia Pacific.
Yes, that's where I am.
And we probably have 5 more CDN locations at this point.
Right, now probably.
Yes.
So I think it's high time we end this episode.
Yes.
We should remind people that if you are aware that I have any progeny, please tell us on at Cloud Cover Show on Twitter.
Most importantly.
Or if you want to comment on the show or let us know what we should do in the future or beg David to come back and tell us this technique that he wouldn't tell us.
I actually have a request. If somebody does know about, you know, a child of yours that, you know, you may not be aware of.
A Windows Azure
child. Please send a picture of this child. Please, I would love to see, you know, what little Marks looks
we'll
like.
We'll have that in another episode.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
A little collage.
Until next week, thank you very much.
And thank you, David.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah. Bye.